Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here, and we thank you very much. This is Jim Masters, your host, and thanks for being with us today. We're also welcoming mindful movement practitioner Margaret Renfeld. Margaret has an MFA in dance and performance as a member of ISMETA, and that's the International Somatic Movement Education and Therapy Association, as well as SEI, the Somatic Experiencing International. Several years ago, while continuing to teach reading and dance, she launched a new venture, Mindful Movement, which is dedicated to authentic and creative movement, innovative and technical approaches, and the ability to spur emotional growth and heal trauma via the physical body. Her work is different from any psychologist or talk therapist in that it's not about the story or about talking. It's about discovering what is left in the body that was not completed during a traumatic event. Margaret understands that when you move the body in distinct ways, stuff comes up. People don't always understand what is happening and what they're feeling, and that's where her role as a teacher, a somatic educator, and a somatic experiencing practitioner comes in. In a typical one-on-one session, Margaret invites the sensations to arise and encourages people to be curious about them and observes movements as well as subtle changes in the nervous system. Together, they explore all that is taking place. And sometimes people will identify a certain trauma, pain, or unresolved aggression as well. Margaret has not performed in recent years, but says she will always be a dancer and use her body as long as she can. She believes her passion to dance and knowledge of how the body works are invaluable in helping others to explore movement and achieve optimal wellness. To learn more about Margaret and her practice, you can visit this website, www.mindfulmovement, and then you have TN, and that stands for Tennessee. So Mindful Movement, and then TN.com. My pleasure to welcome Margaret to Close Up Radio for our 30-minute conversation here on the program. Margaret, welcome to Close Up Radio today. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's an honor for me to be here.
I am very excited about this topic because I think what the work you do is really extraordinary. And your background, as I mentioned, a dancer, choreographer, professor, all these incredible things all add beautifully to what you do. I also applaud you for wanting to help people and teach them more about movement and the mind-body connection. Tell us a little bit, if you can, about some of those basic terms like creative movement and somatic experience. Tell us about those.
Sure. So creative movement, often referred to what we see children do. If you have children or see children in settings where they've, you know, music is played and they're just kind of moving freely, it's creative movement. And I'm sort of referring to children because adults will probably never say they're doing creative movement, although I think everybody should.
Yes.
So it's where the incentive and the movement belong to the mover. So, for example, in the context of a child's learning environment, they're indicating their inner joy in nature. It typically has music or a drum. And you might see dance schools offering creative movement, and the children are learning gross motor skills, imagination, and creativity. And they're also doing problem solving. So, for example, when I teach creative movement, there's some general prompts. I might ask the the people, the kids participating, to put their body into a shape with corners and points. And so they find the joints on their body, the elbows, the knees, the wrists. And I might ask them to tangle those corners and points up. And then once they're all tangled up, say, now keep your shape and try to go somewhere. And that's a problem solving. Like, am I going to scoot, hop, jump, you know, depending on what shape they find themselves in. And it's not really limited to children. I think it's a fun, expressive way for all of us to have this opportunity or space to move freely. But we don't see grown-ups doing it that much these days. I would also say that you didn't ask about authentic movement, but I'm going to just throw that in here because it is kind of an adult version of this. Authentic movement was developed by Mary Starks Whitehouse, who was also a dance therapist. And in authentic movement, it's still a self-exploration, but you typically don't have a music or drum as a prompt. It's really going deep into the body and finding the inner impulse to move. And there's typically a witness. The witness in the room is kind of keeping you safe because it's typically done with your eyes closed. And when the mover feels like their movement is complete, it might go for 5 to 20 minutes. The witness is just there to, you know, validate the experience. There's not necessarily feedback unless the mover asks for it. And this can be very therapeutic as well.
And that's so great. That's great for people to realize that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say a little bit about somatic experiencing at this point, because you really described a lot of it in the introduction, which was great. But the through line that all of these modalities have in common is our body and taking the time to sense and feel what's happening in our body. And in somatic experiencing, that is similar in that we pause often. So someone might come and say, well, you know, I was in a fender bender. I'm making this up, but anyway, someone was in a fender bender. And then we would just, like, I would pause the story right there and not get any more details and take time to notice what you're feeling right here, right now, when you just even say that. Because sometimes there's impulses or sensations in the body that we often override to function day to day. And we don't pause and take the time to not only sense and feel those sensations, but allow them to move through the body. One of the reasons we override them is they can be terrifying. And having a witness or, you know, someone to help facilitate and kind of hold the container of that present moment with them can help people move through those movement impulses and, you know, overall helps regulate our nervous system to help us function as good, authentic human beings.
You know, I think that's amazing. And I think, as I mentioned, some of these other things that you've had sort of in your repertoire, fabulous experience for many years, a professional dancer and performed and choreographed in various settings too. What initially even inspired you, Margaret, to use your knowledge of how our bodies move in a different profession?
That's a really great question. I think it took quite a few years of understanding that my own understanding of how my body moves and feels is a valid way of knowing. When I, you know, I can talk a little bit about Howard Gardner's multiple intelligences, where there's the interpersonal skills and there's the logic and mathematical skills, and there's the kinesthetic. So, you know, oftentimes we talk about types of learners, and some people need visuals to learn, and some people need to do by learning. And personally, I was the one who, for the most part, learned best by doing. And in our traditional educational system, that is not always valued. So I often felt like I was, like, I don't know, in a weird sort of world where I didn't quite understand how everybody else was coming to conclusions, but I knew myself how I was. And as I furthered my education, I came to understand that this way of knowing is a very valid intelligence. And my, you know, we say things like, oh, I feel that in my bones, or I know it in my gut, or I know it in my heart that this is true. Well, those are not just, you know, sayings. They're rooted in actual lived experiences. And so when people say these things, we, you know, those are believable sensations, and we often don't give the same value as if we see something, oh, well, it was written in a book.
Yeah.
So it took me, you know, over the course of, you know, many years and more education and just really kind of validating my own sense of self and my own sense of having an embodied awareness and answering, you know, sort of not only the call, but paying attention to when I'm near people and sensing, you know, danger, or sensing, oh, this is a good person to be around. We all have this. This is not like any kind of woo-woo anything. It's just how much are we going to pay attention to it?
Right.
So as I, I'm going to finish my answer here. Going around a little bit
it's a journey.
You know, I'm not linear. If you haven't figured that out by now, I'm going to kind of come around in circles. But I realized that this way of knowing is a valid way of not only knowing, but teaching and helping others find their own potential in this way of knowing as well. Not that other ways are, not that one is better than the other, but that they're all valid.
Mm. That's terrific. I mean, that's really amazing. And I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, you once said, I put on my somatic experiencing hat and investigate. I like that. Let's discuss the complete approach to really be able to identify issues and pinpoint that traumatic response that happens in the body. Tell us about that.
Sure. One of the things that when I say I put on my somatic experiencing hat, because it's a little bit different than, for example, if I'm teaching someone in a dance studio and we're teaching a technique and they're having difficulty with it, I'm going to go directly in and say, you know, here's some suggestions on how you can do this more efficiently. In somatic experiencing, I'm not doing that. A client initiates their own healing, and it's when, and usually people, you know, they're feeling bad, and so they're looking for some kind of help. And so there's usually a drive or a desire to heal and you know, become complete. And so when I'm looking through the lens of somatic experiencing, we're going to go very slowly. We're going to take things in bits by bit. So if I was going to see someone who had, it doesn't matter whether it's a large traumatic event or you got yelled at work and now you don't want to go to work. You know, like, we're not valuing one as a bigger traumatic event over the other. The fact is they both affected the nervous system and had a negative impact. And it also both of those might be situations where, you know, like if you're getting yelled at work, your impulse might be to get up and walk out, but that also might mean losing your job. So you override that impulse to get up and walk out or punch someone or whatever that impulse might be, sit through it, and then when you leave, if you don't do anything to help move that through, it just compiles over time. And then there's this idea that whenever I walk into my building where I'm going to work, I'm already activated by that anger or stress. Same thing with a traumatic event. So what we look for when someone is sitting in front of me, whether it's in person or on the screen, I'm looking for those small little impulses that maybe have overridden. It might be a tension in the jaw. It might be shortness of breath. It might be a change in the tone of the skin. It might be in focus where the person may not focus, eye to eye. And then notice, like draw the attention. And if the person is not aware, we let it go, because I might see something, but if they're not aware of it, it doesn't help them for me to say, oh, but this is what you're doing, if they're not aware. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it does. It's really
so
incredible.
I might say, you know, look at your hands and can you see what your hands are doing right now? And they might say, oh yeah, they're in fists. Okay, well, let's look at those fists and what does that feel like? And then we just go from there. It's sort of like jazz. It's a little bit of, you know, I say this all the time, it's like improv. You kind of just follow where the nervous system leads you, but very, very slowly. We're not trying to go in and resolve things in one moment, because that just adds to the overwhelm.
Right, exactly. Which, again, is something we don't want, is the overwhelm. We want to work beyond that. You know, you guide people who are feeling sort of dysregulated or unsupported in special exercises. Actually affect those feel-good hormones, those endorphins. Breathing is affected, and even posture in a positive way. If we can, let's walk the listeners through maybe one of those exercises now, Margaret.
Sure. So I'm wondering if I can sort of direct this exercise towards you, Jim, and then our listeners can follow as depending on what their setting is.
Yeah.
So, for example, are you in a room sitting in a chair? Is there a window? Can you describe a little bit your surroundings?
I'm in a hotel room in Wisconsin because we're on a close-up television shoot right now. So I'm in the hotel room, and we have a window with a beautiful landscape view.
Nice. So that's perfect. So the first thing I would say to you and anyone listening is take a moment and just notice your body in the chair, or whatever, if you're sitting on the floor, or even if you're walking around, just pause for a moment and notice how your feet feel on the ground and the contact points of your body in the chair. Might be the backs of your legs. You might be leaning against the back of the chair. Notice the support that the chair provides you, or the floor. And as you're noticing those things, those sensations, I might just invite you to share what that feels like.
It's very peaceful, very contenting. It feels very quiet and balanced.
Great. And when you say peaceful, what happens in your body that tells you it's peaceful?
Breathing is deeper, more from the diaphragm.
Nice.
Calmer.
Yeah.
Feeling, yeah.
Yeah. And then I would invite you, if you're comfortable, to take one hand and just kind of place it over the heart space right in the middle of the chest. You can use two hands. I'm using two hands while I'm talking to you and doing this with you.
Yeah.
And as you notice your hands making contact with your body or your heart, what happens?
This is like a serenity.
Serenity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I might, because I know you have a window, you told me you have a window, so I might just ask you to take a look. You can relax your hands or leave them where they are, but I might just invite you to take a look out the window and notice, where do your eyes want to go?
Right to the trees, straight out,
right?
Like a straight line.
Yeah. I'm looking at trees, too, while we're talking. Yeah. And when you look at the trees, are they close or far?
They are far.
Great. As you notice those trees in the distance, are you still able to notice your body in the chair?
Yes.
Yeah, and...
But the trees still almost overtake it.
Yeah, our focus can go out there. And what do you notice in your body as you're looking at the trees?
I would say probably an increased sense of calm and stability, ease, balance.
Yeah. Those are all wonderful words. I like, yeah, ease and balance. And so I asked you this question before, but I'm just going to say it again. How do you know you have ease? What tells you you have ease in your body?
It's sort of like a wash of a peaceful feeling. And I would say the pulse feels like it's a little slower. I think the breathing
okay.
is deeper. Calmer, and you feel a little bit almost like you can float away.
Great. A whoosh, calmer. Yeah.
Yes.
And so now I'm just going to ask you to bring your attention back to the present moment here with me on the radio. And that's kind of what a little settling exercise looks like. I think maybe it might have been 3 minutes or so. I didn't really actually keep track of time. But during
about
a
that,
session,
yeah.
yeah, if someone starts to get too activated or emotional or overwhelmed, we just pause and we come back to the present moment, to the body, and help our people that we're working with build their capacity for self-regulation. And you were actually really amazing with your own witness, to be able to witness your own experience and describe that. And sometimes, you know, people will say, well, I don't feel anything. And so that's a clue for me that I need to maybe back up and say, well, how about if you, you know, like make a fist and release it? Are you feeling that? Like to give some basic sensations rather than going to the whole body.
Right, exactly. And that's really important for people to note and to be open to mm-hmm. it as well. You also trained in Body and Mind Movement Institute, founded by Mark Chanley Taylor and Somatic Experiencing with Dr. Peter Levine as well. And you also practice Reiki and Sound Vibrational Healing. Tell us about the certifications and maybe a little bit more about those areas of expertise.
Sure. Well, my first training that I did beyond my dance degree was with Mark Tanley Taylor in body mind movement. And this is a study of, it's like a 500-hour certification program, and we go into depth of studying the systems in the body, like the skeletal, muscular organs, fluids, and not only just studying the scientific foundations of these, but then having an embodied experience. So learning about our bones and then moving the body through our bones, and how does that feel different when we're really aware of our structure. And personally, I've mentioned the bones. I always go to the bones first because that is what gives us structure and helps organize our body. And it feels very different than when I'm moving muscularly. So if you think about typical dance training, we're often thinking about the muscles, or if somebody's an athlete, a bodybuilder, we focus on the muscles, but there's so many systems that help support that. So one of the things that I often do now when I'm teaching is when I'm talking about alignment, I might not focus on the bones so much. I might say, what if we organize our organs? Let's stack those organs above, you know, the lungs, above the liver, and see how that feels, instead of just always talking about the spine.
Yeah.
That study led me into the somatic experiencing, which was another, you know, there's three modules at the beginning level, three modules at the intermediate level, and then two modules at the advanced, and each of those are 4 to 6 days depending. And those are also in-depth study of Peter Levine's work and the nervous system. And the way these two mesh together so beautifully is the somatic experiencing really helped me to have languaging and the ability to hold the container of the experience without causing overwhelm, and to be able to use my knowledge of the body and even things like reflexes. If someone has, you know, overactivated reflexes, or those reflexes are not on board, to be able to help them come on board again without overloading the nervous system back into a state of dysregulation. And then, you know, the other certifications are really, they're somewhat ancillary, but they also are very present. Sound and vibration
right.
is energy. Reiki is energy.
Yeah.
Our bodies are energy. And we're just kind of
trying to
find the best way to move it for our
yeah.
most authentic expression.
I want to let folks know, too, so we've got about a minute left, that if they would like to connect and learn more, they can go to your website, mindfulmovementtn.com. That's mindfulmovementtn.com. This was terrific, Margaret. This is really eye-opening and very inspiring. And thanks for joining us on the show. And I hope we get a chance to maybe explore some more, maybe hear a little bit more about some of the things that you're doing, and maybe some testimonials, success stories, things of that nature. That would be a pleasure. But this half hour went by in a New York minute, and it was a real pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I sure did. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Keep up the extraordinary work, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon. It will be a pleasure to do that. Again, our very special guest is mindful movement practitioner, Margaret Rennerfeld. Now, let me, again, give you that website, because it's very important, mindfulmovementtn.com. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, inviting you to stay here. More great episodes of Close Up Radio come up in just a moment. Till then, for all of us, have a great day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.